All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, May 20th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you were at. Sunny, bright, a little cooler this morning, but still beautiful, a little windy. I'm supposed to paddle tomorrow. They're calling for like 25 mile an hour winds. I don't know. We'll see if that happens. We're supposed to, I can see, yeah, things are changing. Yeah, he wants to go out about 8:55 in the morning tomorrow, so maybe that is to try to beat the winds. I don't know. It feels like we haven't been out in a while. We were supposed to do, or they were supposed to do, a big race over in Washington, D.C., and I guess he's not going to do it. Maybe he didn't have enough people. But now he wants to do a 15-mile, two-part extravaganza food in June, on the June 15th, and I'm like, God, it does sound cool. My son will be down Wednesday, back for the summer, so excited. Had him here for a few days, really great to hang out with him. Keeps me in check, which I appreciate, and so I don't know, we'll figure that out, but I don't know if we'll paddle tomorrow, man. The wind's 25 mile an hour. East, southeast, I don't know. We'll have to see. But anyway, it is a beautiful day. Great day. It is Tuesday. Back to work today. Thought I would come up here and sit down and see if I can put something together. I do feel a lot better. The mess I made of myself last week between the funeral and being an asshole really was disturbing. And I'm so grateful I'm back. You know, and I'm grateful I get to share sort of this kind of stuff. As silly as it is, sometimes I'll listen. I'm like, this is so silly, but it's real. You know, I think if I'm interested in finding recovery and staying sober and finding serenity, you know, I think this is, these are the sort of incidents that absolutely knock us on our ass and completely unexpected. And, you know, I think it's good to talk about. You know, maybe it's silly to some people, and if you're not an alcoholic, definitely I would think that would be silly. But it is interesting because I can talk to people that aren't in recovery and have them, you know, completely wallow down in the mud over situations, and they have no answer, right? They, you know, because the funny thing is this has nothing really to do with drinking. This isn't like, oh, I drank too much and look at my behavior and I regret that. This is, I am not drinking. I am a sober human being, and I've gotten myself into a predicament all on my own, right? And luckily, through the steps, it teaches us how I can get out of it if I choose to. You know, it teaches us how to not get into it, but sometimes I'm not as good at that, and it happens. And so it teaches us how to get out. It's like the story about the guy that falls into the hole. And people walk by, and they're like, he's like, give me a hand, right? Give me a hand. And nobody will stop for him. And finally a guy stops. He says, help me get out of the hole. And the guy jumps in the hole, and he goes, what'd you do that for? Now we're freaking both in the hole. And he says, yeah, but I've been here before. I know how to get out. chilling, man. Us and Them, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. What a freaking awesome song. I wonder if that guy laying down that sax, I think it's a saxophone track, knew that what an epic place and time he would mark himself. That is so awesome. It's just such a great album. I remember totally stoned, baked out of my mind, listening to that album. And I played that because I went to a meeting last night, and it was on the 11th step meditation through. Let me read it. Everybody calm down. Let me read it. Oh, man. Let's see. Step 11. Okay. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And, man, what a journey, that step. What a journey I have been on with that step and, you know, spirituality and God and meditation and prayer and all of that stuff. I've shared about it thousands of times on this freaking podcast. You know, it has been something that I seeked. And then I could not find it. And then somebody says, how do you find God? And somebody says, you stop seeking. And God will find you. And that's what happened to me. And once that happened, everything has changed as far as it goes when it comes to meditation and prayer and a spiritual awakening and a spiritual contact and a higher power. All that stuff has changed. And it's quite fascinating. I just had to get out of the way. Self had to get out of the way. Self-seeking had to get out of the way. I've shared before all of my potential relationships with the higher power, God, whatever, were all based in self-seeking. And that is the devil. Self-seeking is self. And that is the opposite of God. And so you can't find the light with the light, right? You can't find the light with the dark. It always has to be this humble beginning. And you can't even fake that. it's sort of this kind of thing where, the more I seek, the less I find. The less I seek, the more I find. And that's sort of how it works for me in recovery. And, there's also another story that I love. And these are not rare stories. They're very popular, so I'm sure we've heard them before. But I saw this on the West Wing. The president's going through this stuff, and he brings in this priest. And the priest says, let me tell you a story. And this old Irish priest, he says, there's a man sitting on his front yard. In his front yard, and a guy rolls up on a bike. He says, get out of here, old man. There's going to be a flood. And if you stay, you'll drown. The old man says, I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. He will take care of me. I'm not leaving. And the guy rides off. The rain starts, and the water starts to rise. And a guy pulls up in a boat, and he says, old man, get in the boat. It's going to flood. If you stay, you're going to drown. And the man says, I love the Lord, and I know the Lord that loves me, and the Lord will take care of me, and I'm going to stay. And the bike guy in the boat drives off, boats off. The waters rise. He's on the roof. He's on the roof of his house. Helicopter flies up. Oh, man, get in. Grab the ladder. Get in the helicopter. You're going to drown. And the guy's like, I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me, and the Lord will take care of me. I am not getting in the helicopter. And the helicopter flies away. Flood waters rise, destroy the man's house. The man drowns, and he ends up in heaven. And he says, I want to speak to the Lord. And he says, Lord, why? Why did you, forget me? Why did you let me die? I love you, and I thought you would take care of me. And he says, I sent you a man on a bike, I sent you a man in a boat, and I sent you a man in a helicopter. Why are you here? And, You know, that story to me is a lot like meditation and prayer, right? You know, I and even at the meeting last night, we're reading it, and I'm reading along, and I'm listening, and I think about early recovery, and I remember hearing, and I've shared before, man, I've always wanted a relationship with the Lord, right? I didn't always believe, right? I wanted to believe, but I don't know if I was the right part of me wanted to believe, right? There was always a side of me that wanted to believe that the Lord was real, higher power was real, and somehow it could fix something, a problem that self had gotten myself into, right? And that doesn't work. Not at least in my world. You know, the God isn't here to fix self-centered created problems. At least without me finding the humility, right? And if I can't find the humility, if I was to find the humility, it wouldn't include reaching out to the Lord to fix it, right? And so my whole relationship, the desire, everything that I had thought up until this point about meditation and prayer and a relationship with the Lord was all based in self, and it was all, you know, it just didn't have a great feeling. I don't even know how to explain it. And, but you know, today, right, it almost feels like I'm in constant meditation, you know, and I shared the other day about the incident that was going on with my buddy Jim. And, you know, it's not like I said what I said, and then the next day I had to get into some spiritual idea to meditate, to figure things out, right? The Lord, right, was telling me the whole time, you are a dipshit. There was no sit down, crisscross, applesauce, burn incense, you know, fingers touching, you know, eyes shut. No, the Lord was pounding on my chest saying, dude, what have you done? We know better than this. I was telling my buddy, my guy that I'm going to call him Sponsy One. I was talking to One. And, you know, I have a fish tank, and we cleaned out the fish tank probably, I don't know, a few months ago. And, you know, usually I take all the big, you know, that's got like big decorative rocks and junk in it. And I pull all the rocks out and I put them into a bucket so that I can, you know, vacuum up the gravel and, you know, clean it up. And I was doing that. I'm like, I was telling my wife, I go, I think one of our fish died. And we're looking for it all over the place. And it was, we only know about the fish because there's a couple fish that are sort of similar. One picks on the other. And so it's constantly, we hope we haven't made the wrong choice with fish purchase. But point is that, you know, the fish was missing. And I'm like, well, it must have died and just, you know, rotted away, and maybe I'll find the skeleton or something. So I'm working on the fish tank, finally get it all done, start putting the big rocks back in, and I see this thing inside this bucket, and I'm like, what is that? And I thought it was maybe like a cat toy or something, and I start to try to pick it up, and it freaking moves, and it's the freaking fish. I'm like, oh my God, here's the fish, oh my God. And I finally get it back into the tank, but it had been out of the water, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Crazy, man. I got the fish back in the water and it survived. It's kind of like, you know, how I feel today when it comes to, you know, my relationship with God and meditation and that sort of thing, is that, you know, I feel like I am in holding the hand of God. I'm in the hands of God, right? You know, like a bowl. And I'm sort of, you know, my days aren't perfectly centered. They slop up on the side. But on the day of last week, when I said what I said to that guy, I flew out of the hands and I landed in the floor. And I was there and I laid there for a few days, holding on, right? Spiritually hanging on, trying to figure it out. But there was no, I didn't have to go seek God to find out the answer. The answer was beating me in the chest the whole fucking time. The answer was beating me in the chest as soon as my mouth shut from saying the thing that I said, the answer was beating me in the chest. And the answer was, I'm sorry, I apologize, that was unnecessary, you didn't deserve that, please forgive me, I'm so sorry. That's the answer. And don't do it again, right? Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it, and fucking don't do it again. And I have to remember that. It's the do it again, right? And I keep saying, oh, me and this guy bump heads. It's me. I am the problem, regardless of whatever behavior he is doing. I'm choosing to react. I'm the problem. Once again, like I've said 100 fucking times, if my feet were there, I play a role in it, and it's me again. I think that's why I started off that podcast yesterday. It's by saying I am not perfect, and I'm not sure I ever will be. I don't know if that was an out, but so, you know, I'm laying on the floor like the fish, and but I suffered. You know, I suffered for, you know, that happened on Wednesday. I suffered Wednesday night. I suffered Thursday. And I'm talking, I was suffering. I would think about it. No, you know what it was? It was God constantly reminding me this was a big deal in this realm that I live in that doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it was a very big deal. It was on my mind for 4 days. And by the fourth day, I'd sort of started to become used to the issue, the pain, the constant annoyance. And but I didn't want to become used to it, because when I become used to it, I am fucking dying. And so reading the step last night, and all I could say was, you know, all I could keep thinking was, you know, how many times has God sent me a messenger that I've ignored because I expected to have a relationship, or do have a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord will take care of me. And I think the story basically says, I still have work to do. I still have to participate. You know, that one set of footsteps ain't in my world. It's a, you know, as soon as I made that phone call, and you know the funny thing was when number one was over here and we were hanging out, sharpening knives, and as soon as he left, I called my buddy Jim. I couldn't get the freaking number in the phone fast enough. And so, you know, today how I meditate is I quietly listen to the spiritual suggestions of how to clean things up. I think that's what I do. Because I try, you know, today, I mean, listen, I should pretty much share everything that goes on in my life on this freaking podcast. And, you know, it's not a lot. Right? When I call Jim a motherfucker, it's like a 4-day event, right? It's like the worst thing that goes on in my damn life today. So I'm not spending my day meditating and, you know, thumbing through files of shit I have to fix all day. You know, once again, this is the 11th step. You know, we don't go 1 to 11. We don't go 1 and then add 1 and make it 11. You know, just like I was talking to number 1 the other day about a relationship with God. And, you know, and I said it on here, you know, the better relationship that I have, the better life I live today, the less I need God. And that's no disrespect. You know, as a shithead kid growing up, I always needed my parents. You know, I compare my parents to God, you know, I mean, they're not, but they're the next best thing at the time. You know, I see it all the time. I see these kids grow up and they're just like, they don't need their parents. I'm like, your parents live where, right? You know, I have needed my parents my whole life because I did not live a good life. The worse I live my life, the worse, the more I need my parents. The better I live my life, the less I need my parents. My son, my oldest boy, Big D, Davey, he lives a good life. He never needs me. Like, do you need some money or something? No. You sure? You know, I was different. But it's a, you know, it's, you know, it's just one of these things. But you better, the better I live my life, the less I have to, you know, prayer and meditate. Or at least the less I need to sit down and force it. I constantly feel like I have a relationship with God because I'm in the hands of God. And when I'm not, due to behavior, I feel it. There's no need to go have a special room and a special chat. It fucking hits me in the chest. And then the conversation's like, do you think you should apologize, Tom? And I'm like, no. No. And the fact is that, okay. Second day, hey, do you think you should apologize, Tom? I would, but there's parts that he played. Fourth day, do you think you should apologize, Tom? Yeah, I'm considering it. Fifth day, do you think you should apologize? I'm calling him right now, okay? Just keep him the fuck off. Like, leave me alone. I'm calling him. And I called him and I apologized. And there's been no, you know, do I need to call? There's been no more chat with God. Haven't heard from him. Onward and upward, onto the next situation. And, man. So I don't, you know, I've never really understood this, the meditation. I do, you know, I love when I hear people talk about this amazing relationship with meditation and prayer. I get it. Or I don't, I mean, I love it. I don't know if I get it. I'm pretty, you know, I try to live a pretty freaking good life. You know, I've worked through these steps. You know, it was like, it's the same thing with the promises, right? You work the 9 steps and the promises aren't as important. When you come into the program early on, you first hear about a meeting and then somewhere down the line, there are promises that are made. We're very interested, right? Early recovery, we're very interested in the promises. But a person that has worked all the way up to the 9th step, it isn't as much of a issue. I always say the promises are A's nice way of pointing out things you should fucking work on. But that's just an opinion. And it's the same thing for me when it comes to prayer and meditation. If I have gotten all the way to the 11th step, right, continue to take that personal inventory when I was wrong, promptly admitted it, and don't do it again, right? Hopefully at this point, right, it's just a nudge. It's just a nudge. And that's exactly what I went through. It was a little more of a nudge. Because that sometimes, you know, I'll lay down rules and I'll lay down examples and descriptions. And I'm like, yes, this is, if this happens, this is what I do. If this happens, this is what I do. And sometimes I go, this happened. And I'm like, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do, because that justified resentment guy shows up and we have to have a conversation for a little bit. You know, I'm just not quick to go, man, that was, you know, in a perfect world, I guess in a perfect world, my mouth wouldn't have opened. But in a perfect world, I would have said, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. That was ignorant. But I suffered and it was unfortunate. But, yeah, 11th step is an amazing step. I used to go to an 11th step meeting, and we used to sit and meditate for 5 minutes. And, you know, like I said, if we've worked the steps, if we've done what we're supposed to do, then we should be in a place where this isn't a huge deal, right? All right, let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm working today. And I'm excited because I haven't worked, I feel like, in a few days. So, because I took Friday off and so it was weird. All right. Oh, May 20th. One day at a time. Above all, take it one day at a time, as Bill Cizik, page 11. Why do I kid myself that I must stay away from a drink for only one day when I know perfectly well I must never drink again as long as I live? I am not kidding myself, because one day at a time is probably the only way I can reach the long-range objective of staying sober. If I determine that I shall never drink again as long as I live, I set myself up. How can I be sure I won't drink when I have no idea what the future may hold? One day at a time basis, I am confident I can stay away from a drink for one day. So I set out with confidence. At the end of the day, I have the reward of achievement. Achievement feels good, and that makes me want more. Yep. Thank God for one day at a time. You know, I'm living my shit one day at a time right now. So important. you know, projecting and reflecting is not good for me. My shoulders are only so big that I can handle basically what comes in the day. All right. Well, hey, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.